We've been blessed through this day, blessed to endeavor to engage in the divine worship service of the Lord this morning and fellowship together with brothers and sisters of Life Precious Faith, and communion of God's Spirit, and be gathered once again tonight to look unto our great Lord and endeavor to worship Him. Trust that you will continue in prayer for us tonight as we endeavor to stand before you, that the good Lord will be pleased to come to our aid and rescue once again. Brother Jerry has preached unto us tonight, and he has set before us Jesus Christ as our faithful high priest, our merciful and faithful high priest. And indeed, truly, Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Now, he came from the tribe of Judah, which nothing is mentioned about priesthood. But nevertheless, he is after the order of Melchizedek, not after the Levitical priesthood, but after the order of Melchizedek, a king priest. Jesus Christ fulfills all three offices of priest, prophet, and king. Never in the scriptures, in the history of the people of Israel, do we have a king priest. We have a priest that was a prophet in Samuel. We have a king in David that was a prophet. Peter calls him a prophet there on the day of Pentecost, calls David a prophet. But we don't have a king priest, much less a king prophet and priest. Jesus is a priest likened, a prophet like unto Moses. But in Christ we have a prophet, priest, and king. Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews. I want you to think about that tonight. We've had set before us that Jesus Christ is our high priest, and indeed he is. He is a king priest. If you'll read the account in Zechariah, where that the Lord spoke and called upon certain men to take Joshua, the son of the high priest, and to make crowns of silver and gold and to place upon his head and to call him the branch, to call him the anointed one of the Lord. Now, what picture do we have here when the Lord commands these men to take the son of the high priest and to make the crowns of silver and gold, put on his head? What picture do we have? We have the picture of a king priest. A king priest. This is showing and painting forth and telling in that allegory of the branch of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he is our king priest. And he is a king of the Jews. Let me read just a little bit of language of expression that is found in the Roman letter, chapter 1, verse 28 and verse 29. Pardon me, Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So now when I say to you tonight that Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews, then I'm saying that to you in this context right here, that the Apostle Paul is blessed by the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God to pin down words and to teach us this lesson that a Jew is one that is one inwardly, born of the Spirit of God, that there has been circumcision of the heart. I want to tell you that there was something done for Abraham in his heart before he was ever circumcised in the flesh. Oh yes, my friend, when he was still Abram, God had done a work in him. He is already a child of God, born of the Spirit of God when God called upon him to leave Ur of Chaldea and go into a land that God would show him, and afterwards give him and his descendants his seed for an inheritance. And it was a long time after that he was ever circumcised in the flesh. Circumcision in the flesh was that of a sign in the flesh and a representation of a seal of being under that covenant with God in that community there where they had the temporal blessings of God. But I want to tell you, from Adam to the last heir of promise, that every born again child of God will have circumcision of the heart, will be born from above of God's Spirit, and they are a Jew, which is one inwardly that is born of the Spirit of God. Now we know and understand that Jesus is from a natural standpoint of the lineage of David. He is the offspring of the root of Jesse, who was the father of David. And so he's of the tribe of Judah, and he's of that kingly tribe, and comes forth from that, which goes back and goes through there of to Solomon, who had the rightful heir to the throne, David. Now we know the first king of Israel was Saul of Kish, and how that the kingdom was rent from him and was given to another. It was given to David, and David was king in Judah, and he was king in Israel. You know, there are three anointings far as of David as king. David was anointed on three different occasions as king. He was first anointed there when God called upon Samuel, the priest prophet, to go to Bethlehem to the house of Jesse. And there he was to see and to view and the sons of Jesse to come before him. And he went to Bethlehem. And as he approached Bethlehem, the elders of the city of Bethlehem came out to meet him and inquired and wanted to know, do you come peaceably? Are you coming in peace? That was their concern. Oh, they were hoping the prophet, the priest, prophet of God, was coming upon a peaceful mission, wasn't coming in a judgment type way to them. And he told them, I've come to sacrifice. And the Bible says that he sanctified or set apart the house of Jesse. And he had his sons to come before him. And there as they came forth, and that first one, the oldest son of Jesse, came forth, and Samuel looked upon him and said, surely the Lord, this is the one that the Lord would have me to anoint. He has the horn of oil ready to pour upon him. But the Lord tells him, no, he is not the one. And then Jesse's other sons come before him. And the Bible says that Jesse has his seven sons to pass before Samuel. But the Lord says, no, the one that I've chosen to be king is not among them. And he asked Jesse, do you not have another son? Yes, there is another one. He is out in the sheepfold, the pasture, tending to the sheep. He is a keeper of sheep. I want to tell you, friend, our blessed Lord is a keeper of sheep. How wonderful that is. Amen. The Father, amen, has chosen out a sheepfold. And he has given them to his son, the great shepherd. And the great shepherd and bishop of our souls. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is this great shepherd that is the keeper of the sheep that the Heavenly Father has given unto him. So Samuel says, go get him. Go fetch him and bring him up here. And when he comes before him, boy, he's just a rooty looking lad of a boy. But God says, rise up and anoint him. He's the one. And he rises up and he anoints him. So the very first anointing of David as king is there with his family. I want you to remember that now. It's there with his family. Now this is before Saul ever dies. This is before he actually dies in that battle, you know, with Jonathan and his son and so forth. That place and transpires, and it comes about after Saul's death David inquires of the Lord, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? And yes, God tells him to go up and go to Hebron, and he goes to Hebron, and it tells us that Judah, not all of Israel now, but Judah turned out and came, for he was of that tribe. Oh, from Bethlehem, his father was Jesse, and he was from the tribe of Judah, and Judah turned out, and Judah anointed David as king there in Judah. And David continued to have war with Saul's house and so forth, and after 6-7 years had passed, it came to pass after a lot of that had settled out and so forth, that many of Israel then came forth. All of Israel then came forth and came to Hebron, and all of Israel anointed David, recognized him as king. So we see there are three different anointings there in the scripture, the Old Testament. You can read all about it. If you go back there and read about it, you can read about the three different anointings. It was with his family, and then it was with Judah, and then it was with all of Israel. Now our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our King, he is the King of the Jews. You know, when the Lord came to this earth, when he, Brother Jerry said he descended in the lower parts of the earth, he didn't go on to tell you, but I'm going to tell you, that lower parts of the earth, that was in the womb of the Virgin Mary, if you hadn't figured it out. Amen. Talking about him to coming down to the lower part of the earth, talking about the womb of the Virgin Mary in earth, her earthen vessel there, so forth. But when our Lord was made flesh and born, came to this earth, he was born King of the Jews. I want you to think about there in Matthew's account where it gives us that those wise men that came, and they came to Herod and said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. And then remember there at the crucifixion of Christ, when the Lord stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked the Lord the question, are you a king of the Jews? And Jesus simply said with two words, thou sayest. That we have in Matthew, but in Luke's gospel account of recording we have, and of course Matthew records about how that Pilate took and wrote out the inscription and had put over Jesus as he was suspended and hung between heaven and earth, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And then in Matthew's writing, it tells us of that same account of the writing and the title that was put over him, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, and how that the high priest went there to Pilate. He didn't like it. He said, don't write King of the Jews. Say he said that he is King of the Jews. He lied on the Lord, because the Lord said back to Pilate in Matthew's account, when Pilate said, are you King of the Jews? He said, thou sayest. And so they said, say he said, King of the Jews. But you know what Pilate said? He said, I've written what I've written. In other words, I'm not going to change it. Pilate told the truth. And that insignia that was written and put over our Lord, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But you see, for as the prophecy of the scripture was given, the king would come from Bethlehem. I read in Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that shall be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So you see, Jesse's folks, David there from Bethlehem, Christ would come from Bethlehem, the son of David. And yes, we see that command went forth from there in those days that all the world should be taxed, all the known world. There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And we find that Mary and Joseph went back to the native town of Bethlehem there to be taxed. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should bring forth her first born son. He was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. He didn't come to the king's palace far as to the earth. No, he came lowly, and even him as the king of the Jews, when he came in the week before his crucifixion, and as it had been prophesied, and they laid the palm branches in front of him, he came meek and lowly, riding upon an ass to fold the coat of an ass. And the people cried, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I tell you, but some of those same folks a week later were saying, do away with him, give us Barabbas. Oh, my friend, but Jesus Christ is King of the Jews. By the time that Jesus came to this earth, there 2,000 years ago, you know, pretty much the only tribe of Israel that was still pretty much left intact was the tribe of Judah. There were Levites, but most of the other tribes had lost their identity. Most of the other tribes had lost their identity. But the tribe of Judah was still pretty much intact. Amen. God's providence, God's working there. For it was given and prophesied and foretold of how that he would come forth from that kingly tribe of Judah. You know, a lot of folks talk about, you know, they'll go to Jeremiah 22. And of course, there comes down through the prophet Jeremiah and speaks there of the king of Judah that would go into to Babylon, Caniah. And in Jeremiah 22:30, thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judea. But I want to tell you, my friend, even though there was a seed curse upon that line that our Lord would come through, you see, the Lord was the adopted son of Joseph, therefore giving him the right not by as they descended through Joseph through natural means. Joseph was not his biological father. He was his adoptive father. And Jesus had ever right and privilege and blessing in that home through Joseph. And therefore go back through there and go through Solomon to David to have the lawful right to sit upon the throne of David. I tell you, our Lord did prosper. You just read Isaiah. Said the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Oh yes. So there was no seed curse upon the Lord, because he wasn't of the descent in a natural sense, as our brother has preached to us tonight. From that standpoint, he was made like unto his brethren, yet he did not have though the nature of sin. That sin nature was not passed on to him through generation. You know, Matthew 1:1, this is the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then it goes into that genealogy and so forth. Caniah and Jeconiah, as it calls his name in Matthew chapter 1, they are one and the same person. And so our Lord, when he came, he had that right to the lawful throne of David. The Apostle Peter, blessed by the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, as he stands there in Acts chapter 2, they are blessed and he is filled with the Spirit, and he stands up and he begins to preach unto those Jews that are gathered out. The Bible lists about 17 different nations that they are from there. They've come in for the feast of the Passover and the feast, and stayed over for unleavened bread and Pentecost and so forth. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Pentecost meaning the 50th day, seven Sabbaths or 49 days, the day after being the 50th day, the day of Pentecost, the day of waving the finished product of the baked loaves of bread. Amen. Showing a completion, a fullness. Oh, I tell you, our Lord is the completion. He is the fullness. He is the completion of all of the sacrifices and ceremonial things of the Old Testament. That ceremonial part is done away with. Oh, thank God there's no smell of death around the old Baptist church. It's the smell of life. Oh, friend, back there in the old economy, they could smell the Temple Mount a few miles away. And there was a branch that run from there, and where the blood and the entrails and all the waste from those animals came through. You remember the Bible says, talks about Jesus coming out of the upper room and going to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he passed over the brook. That brook that he passed over, it was that one that flowed from the temple with all the stench and the garbage and the entrails of those sacrifices. He passed over sin, the offerings for sin, as he went to Gethsemane, there where he was in great agony, when the very next day his soul would be made an offering for sin. Oh, for his people, for his sheep. But thank God that night before he passed over the brook, there's some good preaching right there. Amen. For a while we could talk about. Oh, I'm so glad that he is our Passover lamb. Oh, that he is the one that the blood is there on the post and doorpost, and the destroyer will pass over. Thank God ever a Benjamite will get home. Amen. To heaven in immortal glory. One of these sweet days. You remember it was Judah. There was a pledge. There was a surety for Benjamin. I don't have time to go into all that story, but you Bible readers, you remember it. And you know how that he told Joseph down in Egypt, Judah did, before he ever knew who Joseph was. And when Joseph said, I'm going to keep Benjamin. You know, Judah, he had to talk Jacob into letting him go down there. Remember that? Oh, yes, he did. He said, I'll be surety. I'll be surety. In other words, he wasn't going to come back home without him. He knew not to come back home without that young lad of a boy, the one his father loved the most. He was the son of his old age. He was one born out of due time. Oh, he was older, came down later in life. You know, his mama, she named him Benai. In the time of her death, her soul was in passing, for she died. And as she was dying, she breathed out the words and called his name Boniah, meaning son of my sorrow. But you know, after she had died, I just hear Jacob. No, that's not his name. His name's Benjamin. Amen. Which literally means son of my right hand. Oh, my friend. God's people are going to be manifested on that last day on the right hand of God. Oh, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is on the right hand of God. And we're there with him. And the Father sees us through his beloved Son and his people. All Benjamites. Amen. In this allegory, they are children of his right hand. Thank God forevermore. And so, Judah, who Christ comes through and he's the king of the Jews, says, Benjamin has got to go home. I can't go back without him. He's the surety for him. Friend, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen, the king of the Jews, from the tribe of Judah, he's going to make sure that every last Benjamin gets back home. I tell you, tonight on the authority of God's word, that every heir of promise, every elect child of God is going to get saved home to glory without the loss of one. Now, friend, that's enough to shout about. We ought to rejoice and praise God in that blessed hope tonight of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that indeed he is Jesus, King of the Jews. Amen. In that context,
flesh, not one outwardly, but one that is inwardly. The Apostle Paul goes on there, and it goes into that third chapter. What advantage hath the Jew? Much in every way. For unto them were committed the oracles of God, or the sayings of God, the commandments of God. They were the people that God manifested Himself to. They were the people that God raised up to give them of His law and of His commandments. They had the prophets. They had the word of the Lord. They had the blessings that no other individuals and people had. Now that doesn't mean God didn't have a people outside of there and around all the other nations. We know better than that. We know Revelations, Revelation 5 and what 9 that tells us the Lord's got a people everywhere on this earth. That the Lord has, His people. They were not all in the confines of the geographical boundaries of Israel. But I want to go back and close out with these thoughts. I want you to remember how that I brought and set before you the three anointings of David. He was anointed before his family. He was anointed king by Judah. And then later he was anointed king by Israel. Our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He is King of the Jews, and He is first recognized and called with that designation and given to that by His family. And I'm talking about the Father and the Holy Ghost. Even before the foundation of the world and the everlasting covenant of grace, whereby He is designated and singled out that He will be King, that He will be the Savior. He is born. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? He didn't become a king. He was born, King of the Jews. As Isaiah said unto us, a child is given unto us, a son unto us, a child is born unto us. I can't get it. Unto us a child is given, born, a son is given. I want to tell you, the Son of God was given. Here's what I want. Thank you, Lord. When the angel said there on the hills of Judea, and this, the shepherds will keep him watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And that angel came with the glad tidings and told them, for is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He was born Savior. He was born King. He was given from glory with that designation from His Father, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then we see how that Christ is acknowledged, in His gospel church. This is Judah, of the second anointing, recognizing Him as King. You know, He's not recognized as King of all His elect people. All of His people, elect people, don't have that knowledge, don't have that understanding. They're not, haven't all been in one place and so forth. They're not all in the gospel church. But it's in the gospel church where He is recognized, where He, through our acknowledgement and our praise and our honoring Him, is acclaimed. Our honoring and praising Him doesn't make Him the King, but it acknowledges Him as the King. And then, just as surely as all Israel anointed David king, there's going to come the time in the end when all the elect family of God get home, dear brothers and sisters, and all the elect family of God are going to, all Israel, spiritual Israel, is going to proclaim and praise Him and acknowledge Him as their King. There in Romans, 11th chapter, along about verse 26 or so, where it says, and so all Israel shall be saved. That's talking about all the elect family of God, all spiritual Israel. Why? Because this deliverer shall come forth out of Zion. And what's he going to do? He's going to turn away ungodliness from Jacob. He didn't say he had turned Jacob away from ungodliness. Not all of God's children live a godly life in this world. To their and to our detriment. But God turned away ungodliness from Jacob. Jacob representing the whole elect family of God. In other words, the penalty and the accountability of their sins, amen, was turned from them, and it was accounted unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and He paid that sin debt. He was that supreme sacrifice, and therefore ungodliness is turned away from Jacob. Oh, how sweet and wonderful these thoughts are. I hope it's an encouragement and a great strength to your heart and life tonight. God bless you is my prayer.
Amen.